to call the November 2nd board meeting to order and remind everyone to please mute your phone or computer microphone when not speaking. In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raised hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board reporter. Thank you. Next on our agenda is roll call. The board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton, Commissioner Tivnon?
Here.
Here. City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah?
I'm here.
And TVWD, Commissioner Duggan?
Present.
All right. This concludes roll call, and we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. Next on our agenda is the General Manager's Report. Mr. Krasko will present the General Manager's Report.
All right. Thank you, Chair Duggan, and good afternoon, Commissioners. So as we usually do, we'll head off into all the activities, or most of the activities that are occurring on the program right now to complete the WWSS, starting with our permitting and communications updates. The Willamette Water Supply Program permitting and communication efforts continue to remain very active, and attached to the General Manager's Report is a tabulation of all the activities, including permits and approvals recently granted, and the status of those currently in process. I've got a couple of updates, though, for you on both of those counts. On the permitting highlights, PLW 2.1 project is an open-cut crossing of Rock Creek in the Orangewood Nature Park, and our permits for this work required it to be completed during the dry weather season. Due to an early rain event in late September, work in Rock Creek was delayed, which required the permitting staff to request an in-water work variance or extension. These extensions required approvals from a lot of agencies, including the Corps of Engineers, the Department of State Lands, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the National Marine Fisheries Service. The regulatory agencies approved that extension through October 14th, 2023, and I'm happy to share that all of the work was successfully completed by the morning of October 9th, 2023. So that was a successful job by our contractors out there. Another permitting highlight is the trial dates for the Water Watch Challenge to our thermal treating plan were postponed from early November to January 16th, 2024. So I'll provide another update for you at our next board meeting. Regarding our communications highlights, the communications team is preparing for upcoming lane closures for the PLW 2.1 project on Corneas Pass Road from Rinkowitz Nature Park to Catawba Street. The work is permitted by Washington County and includes reducing the normally four-lane arterial to one lane in each direction and reducing the speed from 45 to 35 miles an hour. The work is anticipated to take 2 weeks, and the lane closures will help construction crews safely install the 48-inch pipeline within the busy road. The communications team provided neighboring businesses and residences a special email update and canvassed the neighborhood to personally inform residents. Regional partners are aware of the upcoming work, and Oregon Trip Check updates will allow mobile mapping users to find alternate routes. Next up is our quarterly financial report. Task 4D of the annual work plan requires the managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and provide them to the WWSS Commission Board as part of the packet. Attached to this general manager's report is the WWSS Commission's quarterly financial statement for the period ending September 30, 2023, and I don't have anything in particular to call out for you on that quarterly report. We have our audit coming up, and on September 25th, 2023, staff emailed the audit planning communication letter from our auditors. This is a required element of the commission's annual financial audit. Attached to this general manager's report is a copy of the letter. The Board of Commissioners is encouraged to read the letter, and if they have any questions, to direct them to the interim chief financial officer, Justin Carlton, at the email address stated in this general manager's report. And then next up is our construction progress update. Attached to the general manager's report is a tabulation of the status of all active construction projects. And to provide a more complete understanding of the work underway, we will, as we usually do, share a presentation of recent photos from the construction sites. And so thank you, Joelle. Go on to the next slide, please. We still have all 14 projects in construction. And as usual, I'll start from the south and head north. Yeah, I'm starting with the raw water facility project. Or actually, I think I'll start with a couple of summary slides first. First, this one, our estimated construction physical percent complete. You see that on all of these projects, we continue to extend our work going from left to right in terms of our percent complete, more green checkboxes. And I'd say in the next month or two, we're going to have even more green checkboxes as more of these pipeline projects wrap up. But the gold bars in there show that the work that has been completed since the July Management Committee meeting or the August board meeting. Next slide. Now onto our raw water facility project. Work that's currently underway there is completing the installation of the brick veneer at the electrical building, installing the roof trusses at the electrical building, installing architectural system framing for doors, windows, louvers at building, upper site perimeter wall, and our electrical duct banks and site lighting. So we've got some photos to show you. The first one is an aerial photo of the overall site at the upper site at the Willamette River Water Treatment Plant. And so there, kind of in the foreground, is the overall construction. You can see the building there just to the center left and some of the other concrete pads there. And then you can also see basically the beginnings of the perimeter fencing that's being installed, all the concrete columns. And then on the left-hand side of the photo, you can see some of the infill between the columns that's being put in place. The next photo shows a close-up of the electrical building, and it shows all of the masons that are working to install the brick veneer on the CMU block walls. Kind of the interesting feature about this is the use of a hydraulic scaffolding mechanism. So this allows the scaffolding to basically encircle the whole building, so the masons can work very efficiently as they install row by row of the brick facade onto the structure here. Next slide. This shows some of the roofing going in place. So you can see that some of the brick facade has been completed, and the pan high roof pan decking is installed, kind of the first layer of the roofing. And that roofing will then continue on to the lower parts of the structure to the left in this photo. Next slide. Moving on now to PLM 1.3. That's our pipeline through the center of Wilsonville. On this one, we've installed a lot of pipe, and so now we're working on curb and gutter and sidewalk and street panel restoration on a portion of 95th Avenue. We're installing our air valve appurtenance piping and cathodic protection systems on that installed pipe in 95th Avenue. Installing the Wilsonville fiber optic line installation on 95th Avenue. That's part of our ground lease improvement projects that we negotiated with City of Wilsonville. We're almost done installing our 66-inch open cut water line in Kinsman. That's the little leg of the project there to the bottom of the photo on the right. All told, we've installed about 5,500 feet of the pipeline, or about 45% of the total for this particular project. Got a couple of photos to show you here, and this is just our pipeline installation work in Kinsman, so that open cut pipe installation there. You can see that as required, we still have one lane of traffic always open on Kinsman as we're doing our work. And as I mentioned, our pipeline installation in Kinsman is nearly complete, if it isn't complete already. And the next slide I have for you is our paving, our preparation for paving work on 95th Avenue. This just shows the road base that's installed. On top of this, it will be our geotextile fabric that we're installing, and then putting the concrete panels back in place. And we've installed the curb and gutter already. We're going to be doing the pipeline or the pavement installation very soon. Next slide. Now we move up to our water treatment plant project. This is our most active site. We're continuing our 84-inch overflow pipeline. I think I've got one photo of that to show you. Continuing a lot of the electrical work, our conduit and piping installation below slab, and began footing construction of the ballasted flock area. We began our slab construction in the filters area, continuing our elevated decks and electrical duct banks around the UV building, and wall construction around the clear well and the EQ basins, and the elevated slab around the finished water pump station. So a lot of work all over the site. The first slide, I believe, is the overall aerial, and there it is. So this one is actually a couple weeks old. So if you look on the lower left here, you see the circular structure there. That's our clear well, our 10 million gallon clear well. And you can see the wall. We've got, it looks like maybe 20% of the circular wall constructed there. At this point now, that wall has gone counterclockwise around all the way around to the other side. So they're making great progress on that wall. The structure immediately behind our clear well is our finished water pump station that I mentioned. The elevated slabs are almost complete. in the foreground, thanks Joel with the pointing, in the foreground is our EQ basins where we're finishing building the walls around it. And just further back in this photo is our filters and our ballasted block area where we're currently pouring the concrete slab and foundation perimeter foundations for those structures right now. Next slide, I believe, is our overflow pipe, and there it is. So this is a fiberglass pipe. It's low pressure, it's gravity line. We're using fiberglass as that decision was made as part of a value engineering concept, basically to save money, a lot cheaper than it would have been if we had constructed this pipeline out of steel. But that pipeline is being installed, basically is going to be there to pick up overflow from any of our structures around our site and take it down to the EQ basins. So we're making good progress on this one. And then this shows, again, another slide of our installation of all of the electrical and instrumentation duct banks all over the site. So it just kind of shows you the Byzantine nature of this construction, given how complex this facility is, how many different places where we need to provide power and provide controls all over the treatment plant. And this is really fascinating work, but they're making great progress on this. So next slide. And this was just a close-up of the Clearwell construction, you know, along with the finished water pump station. Again, just kind of showing that in greater detail. Next month, when we have the photos, I'm sure I'm going to be showing you further construction of this structure, meaning completion of more of the circular wall and the interior baffles and columns that are being constructed right now. Next slide. Now we move up to our pipeline projects, PLM 4.2, the PLM 4 projects. I don't have a lot of photos to show you of these projects because they're either complete or just starting. So PLM 4.2, the construction of this one is just getting started, starting with on basically the easternmost portion of this project, near the intersection of, or right at the intersection of 12 and Sherwood Road and 124th Avenue. We are doing trenchless construction underneath that intersection to get from 124th Avenue across 12 and Sherwood Road to where we will begin installing pipe going from east to west. And so we have a lot of traffic control in that area. If you've ever driven by that area recently, it's kind of a mess, but it's just necessary for us to get our work done safely there. And as part of facilitating that work, we had to relocate a city water line in order to, again, get that work started. And we've installed our launch shaft and we're beginning the trenchless operations. But right now, I really don't have any good photos of this to show you, so we will continue on now to PLM 4.1. And on this project, it's the crossing of 99th, Highway 99. This one, all the pipe is installed, so we're just working on some appurtenances, some cathodic protection, disinfecting and pressure testing the installed pipe, and Washington County is continuing its road widening work on 12 and Sherwood Road. So this one is nearing completion. Next up is PLM 4.4, which is the continuation of that project on the other side of 99 down the rest of Roy Rogers Road through Sherwood. And again, this one as well, all of the pipe is installed. We've completed our testing and disinfection of the installed pipe. They're completing their surface appurtenances and features. And once they're ready, this project will be tied into the PLM 4.1 project I just talked about that crosses Highway 99 and the PLM 4.3 project that continues down Roy Rogers Road. Just a fun fact about this project, as we're like looking to this one being done and being able to communicate to the residences in that area, that's like, hey, the end is near, our road construction, pipeline construction is almost done. We just found out recently that Clean Water Services wants to put a 24-inch sewer down the same road. So just as we were about to wrap up this work, Clean Water Services is going to dig it up again and install a new pipe down that area. And so it's unfortunate. We couldn't have timed it a little bit better, but at least they're getting it done before the final paving is in place. So it's just going to extend some of the messiness of the construction in the area, but it's not us. It's going to be Clean Water Services that's going to be doing the work in that area. Next slide is PLM 4.3. So this is our pipeline project down Roy Rogers Road. We've completed our Chicken Creek crossing and installed the pipe in the shafts, the vertical sections of the pipe, and removing the shaft shoring and backfilling the shafts. And same thing on the Tualatin River crossing on the north shaft. We're installing a 66-inch water line on the east side of Roy Rogers Road. About 80% of all of the of this project is installed and in place. And we're completing construction of a soldier pile and lagging wall with tiebacks for Tributary 4. And I've actually got a photo of that to show you. Might be the next photo up. And there it is. So this is the retaining wall that we're building, basically to shore up Roy Rogers Road for where our pipeline is going to be located. Basically, it's in an area that we've identified as having potential for lateral spread or ground movement during a major seismic event. And so sometimes we have to do construction like this to stabilize everything to make sure our pipeline stays where we want it to during such an event. Next slide, I believe, is our construction through the wetlands area on the east side of Roy Rogers Road. And so this was a pretty messy part of the project, another one of these parts of the project that we had to get done during the dry season. And our contractor successfully did that. So it's all wet and rainy now, but the good news is all of our construction in this wetland area is done. So we completed that successfully ahead of the rains. Next slide is PLM 43 still. And this is at the north side of the Tualatin River, showing the vertical piping, the vertical section of pipe that's coming out of the trenchless crossing of the Tualatin River. So again, this caisson is on the order of about 100 feet deep. So it's a lot of vertical pipe that has to come up and out of that deep construction and then go horizontal down Roy Rogers Road. Next slide. Now we're moving north up to the reservoir and PLM 5-3 project. Regarding the reservoir, making great progress on building it. 90% complete on the reservoir walls, even more than that now as they speak to you today. More than 50% of the columns for the roof are installed. It's actually much greater than that today. We've begun the false work installation for the reservoir roof, basically the bottom form for the reservoir roof concrete placement on the metal platforms and gratings and vaults, electrical duct bank around the site, and the water quality building footings and started the wall forms for that structure at the reservoir site. Regarding a pipeline installation, it's pretty much done. Basically, when this slide was prepared, it shows 99.6% complete, but I believe as I speak to you today, all of our pipe is installed in that project, which is another great outcome, and this is one of our projects that's ahead of schedule. Continued restoration above the pipeline in multiple locations where we've crossed wetlands, including the landscape in the creek, and basically the restorations of those areas. And we've completed our pipeline crossing across Farmington Gardens easement, which was another tough little place to do our work. Got some photos to show you of the reservoir site to start, and this is the overall reservoir site. So kind of showing the curvature of the retaining wall around the site. Again, the tallest part of the retaining wall on the left-hand side, I believe, is about 30 feet tall. To kind of give you kind of a scale for the size of the construction as well. And if you look at the reservoir that's in construction there, you can see a teeny tiny little concrete mixer there. And it gives you kind of a scale for how big the, thanks Joel, it gives you kind of a scale for how large the structure is. Again, this reservoir is 15 million gallons. That means the diameter of it is about 300 feet. And the water, I believe the water depth is 35 feet, so very, very large structure. And you can see if we go to the next photo, it's a closer up view of the reservoir itself. And so you can see the forest of columns that's been constructed. As I mentioned in my bullets, it's more than 50% complete. So you can see that by inspection here on this photo. You can see the wall construction is nearing completion. And all the red features there, kind of the stringiness of the red structure there inside, that's all the scaffolding in place to hold up the bottom form for when the concrete roof is going to be poured. I think the first pour of the concrete roof begins next week. So again, making great progress on this project. Next slide is just kind of a close-up of one of those wall panel constructions. Again, this shows one of the concrete mixers there delivering the concrete to the pump truck that pumps the water in lifts inside each one of those forms to build one of the sections of the circular wall around the 15 million gallon reservoir. Next slide, please. This is the one photo that I have to show you of some of the remaining pipeline installation for PLM 5-3. Kind of the snake inside there is Grabhorn Road, so some of those 90-degree bends in Grabhorn and where our pipeline is located, just to the east of that road. And again, all of our pipeline is in place now. And so now we begin restoration and appurtenance work going forward. Next slide. Now, again, to some nearly complete projects, so not much photos to show you. PLW 1.3, this is a pipeline project that's almost done. So before long, it's going to fall off of my reports to you. So this one, we just had to install a new fiber conduit installed at Butternut Creek because the one originally installed by the contractor didn't work. It got crushed somehow during construction. So we had to have the contractor go and install another one. And they've just completed that work, or I think it's going to be complete soon. And we've added power to the Butternut Creek turnout site. And again, just working on closeout of this particular project. Next slide. Now, that was it for PLW 1-3. Now, PLW 1-2 is basically just to the north, just north of TV Highway up to Francis, partner project with Washington County. This one's gone great with the county. Everything's been on track and finished on time. This one, we're just continuing work at Francis Turnout Vault, installing some of the piping and electrical and SCADA cabinets at that vault. I think I have a photo of this to show you. Yeah, so a couple photos. This one shows some of the electrical work at that vault. So something as simple as a vault for holding some controls and pressure regulating valves and a flow meter actually takes a surprising amount of electrical gear. And so you can see the contractor here working on getting all of that installed for us. I think the next photo is on the inside of the vault there, and there it is. And that just shows some of the piping being installed and the contractor fitting up the various valves and fittings and features there for our one of our turnouts for the WWSS to deliver water to Hillsboro. Next up, I believe we continue up to POW 2.1, Corn Pass. This is through the Rinkowitz Nature Park and what we call the berm property to the north. So on this one, we've completed our crossing of Rock Creek, as I mentioned in my general manager's report, and we're continuing the contractor's continuing to install a pipe to the south, going towards Cornelius Pass Road. As I mentioned, we'll be working in Cornelius Pass Road very soon. So, as mentioned in the bullets here, they completed the waterline installation and restoration work within the ordinary high water limits. And restored all the area in the Orinkowood Nature Park and installed the erosion control ahead of all the rains that we got recently. But we've also completed tree and brush clearing to begin construction of the access road to the remainder of the alignment, the berm property that's to the north portion of this particular pipeline segment. A couple of photos to show you. The aerial here shows the overall construction area across Rock Creek. And this was a messy area to work, very kind of soupy soils, very sticky soils to work in, rough area crossing Rock Creek with open trench construction, essentially, but it was the right way to do it. And the contractor did a great job of getting it done on time during the short dry weather period. And what you're seeing right here is basically all the restoration work. The pipeline's installed, all the excavations are backfilled, and the contractor working on final grading and restoration of the area, which is now all complete in this area. I think I've got one more slide to show you on this particular project, and this is the area where we had to complete our clear around the berm property and provide construction entrances off of Cherry Drive. Next slide. Now we move on to our MPE projects 1.1. No photos to show you this time. We're just getting prepared for connection of the MPE project that's in Western Boulevard to the Washington County supply line that's in Beaverton-Hillsdale Highway. That one's going to be a very exciting project. Requires a shutdown of the Washington County supply line, which is a major water supply to TVWD service area. And so the shutdown of that one, I believe, is going to be sometime after Thanksgiving, and is going to be shut down through March of next year, in order for our contractor to be able to get work done on this. And so it's going to be a very, very exciting project. Everyone's excited to see it happen and get it done this period. But right now, no photos to show you of this work. Our MPE 1.2 project, still a lot of work going on this one, but it's nearing completion. We've continued our 48-inch water line on Allen Boulevard, kind of the northernmost portion of this segment of the pipeline, continued work on our pressure and flow control building roof and architectural features, completed pavement restoration on Shoals Fair Road between Nimbus and Denny, completed our 24-inch and 16-inch water lines on Hall Boulevard, and we've done partial pressure testing of the completed portions of the 48-inch water line. I've got a couple of photos to show you here. This is our pressure and flow control building near the intersection of Hall Boulevard and Olson, and shows some of the roofing materials being brought to that particular structure. Next slide. And this is more of our ductile iron, kind of the final elements of our ductile iron pipe installation along Allen Boulevard. The ductile iron pipe is part of the Beaverton project, our COB 1.2 project. I think one more photo showing the 48-inch pipeline. So right near that 16-inch pipeline that I just showed you is our 48-inch pipeline for the TVWD line, frankly, that will ultimately connect to the Washington County supply line that I was talking about for the MPE 1.1 project. Now I think we go on to the last project, MPE 1.3. So this is all the way down Shoals Ferry Road from just west of 217 down to Roy Rogers Road. On this one, our 48-inch waterline installation is headed west near 130th Avenue. And this is all continuing still to be night work. So far, so good with regarding neighborhood complaints and getting the work done as quickly and safely as possible. So far, it's all signs are pointing towards we're going to continue night work for a little while longer. While we're doing the work in this road, we're doing pavement restoration as it goes along. And we're continuing work on the Roy Rogers Turnout Vault that's near the intersection of Roy Rogers Road and Shoals Ferry. And we need some PGE relocations in advance of some of our pipeline work that we're working with PGE on. Next slide is the installation of one of our 48-inch butterfly valves and the 48-inch line near Conestoga Avenue. And again, all of this happens in the middle of the night while all the rest of us are sleeping. And then the only other picture I think I have for you today is CAD welding the cathode protection wires to the 48-inch line. So some of our cathode protection work here being completed, again, in the middle of the night. And I think that's it for my construction photos. That's it. So if there's any questions, I'd be glad to take them. Otherwise, that concludes the general manager's report.
So, Dave, this is Commissioner Judah. I guess I do have one question. Maybe I just learned something, or I really wasn't paying attention before. So Washington County owns a water supply line?
Oh, it's called the Washington County Supply Line, but it's not owned by Washington County. And that's probably about as much as I know about the history of that. I'm curious if Chair Duggan has some knowledge about the history of the naming of the Washington County Supply Line.
It is the property of the Portland Water Bureau. That's the official designation. It's called Washington County Supply Line because that's what they named it back in 1980-something, late 70s, early 80s.
Yep.
Commissioner Doan could probably give you my fellow Commissioner Doan on the TVWD board was a project manager for it and can probably give you a better history of it than that. But no, it goes from Powell Butte over under the Willamette and along Beaverton Hillsdale Highway up to close to the Arts and Magnet Academy School there at Cabot and Center Street.
And so that is the supply line that Bull Run Water comes to TVWD. Is that what I heard?
Exactly. And it also supplies the city of Tualatin down through what's called Bradley Crossing at Greenberg Road in Olson, down there by Washington Square.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Dave?
No questions, just a comment on how much I appreciate the comprehensive reporting that you do on this and tying all of these different projects together into what is a huge, huge undertaking, and appreciate the photographs and just the amount of information that you give to us in these updates. It doesn't leave a lot to ask because you do a very good job. job of covering it. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. We'll keep it coming.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I should say I was up Grabhorn Road about 3 days ago to look at the activity going up there. And because they do such a good job of keeping traffic moving, you don't get a chance to see very much as you pass through the area. But yeah, it's a lot. Great. Looks great.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I think I misspoke. The Washington County supply line that's owned by the city of Portland ends roughly in Raleigh Hills near the actual county line, but it delivers water to the facility there at near ACMA High School. With that correction, we can move on to our public comment time, which is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Annette, do we have any persons who would like to comment today?
Not today.
Thank you. As a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. Next is our consent agenda. Consent agenda items are routine and may be enacted in one motion without any separate discussion. Any board member may request an item be removed for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered separately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. The only thing on our consent agenda item is approve the August 3rd, 2023 meeting minutes.
This is Commissioner Judah. I move to approve those minutes.
This is Commissioner Tibnon. I second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from August 3rd, 2023 meeting. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
The motion passes. Business agenda items. First is considering approving MSA 2024-008 and task order number one with Water Systems Consulting Incorporated in the amount of $416,730 to provide water supply integration communication plan toolkit and engagement support to the Willamette Water Supply Program and its owners. Ms. Walter will now present the staff report.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Today, for your consideration, we are recommending and asking board's approval of our Water Supply Integration Communications Plan, Toolkit, and Engagement Support Master Service Agreement with Water Systems Consulting and its associated task order number one. Next slide, please. Okay. Just a quick overview to give you an idea of how we got to today and today's recommendation. So the WWSP staff has been leading water supply integration technical work with the owners to prepare for the introduction of the new Willamette River supply into their existing transmission, storage, and distribution systems. Technical work began in 2018 and has been assisted by Confluence Engineering Group on the technical side. As part of that work, we had two Blue Ribbon panel session workshops were held with national water quality experts water quality and national public health experts to critique our planning and suggest improvements on our planning efforts. The panel strongly suggested the development of a rigorous and inclusive public communications campaign leading up to, through, and post water supply integration. And following that work effort of the two Blue Ribbon panels, early this spring in 2023, we held a water supply integration communications specific workshops with the communications team to identify opportunities for better alignment of the owners and strategies to reach targeted prioritized audiences and then basically map out next steps for the work. During those workshops, we clearly heard from the owners we needed more help in developing a comprehensive, inclusive plan. So we developed an RFP, a request for proposal, to bring on board a consultant to guide us through the process of developing the communications plan, an implementation timeline, and specific public engagement strategies. So overall, our timeline is with this work effort is to develop a communications plan during quarters one and two of 2024. Then quarter three of 2024 is to develop the toolkit for the owner's use, and then begin external communications with both customers and the public as outlined by the plan starting in the fall of 2024, so a year from now. Next slide, please. Okay. So back on August 16th, we released an RFP. Six firms signed up to, they signed the required confidentiality agreements to receive full copies of the RFP. On August 24th, four of those firms participated in proprietary meetings with the RFP evaluation team. It was basically their opportunity to get questions out, ask for clarifications about our scope of work and our, just in general, the RFP. On September 19th, the proposal submission period closed with two proposals received. The evaluations team met to review the proposals, and the scoring was so close between the two proposals that the team wanted to interview both firms, which was done on October 11th. After deliberations, Water Systems Consulting was selected as the firm to award the contract to. And I just want to note that the evaluation team involved the communications representatives from each of the owners, the general manager, so Dave, and myself as project manager. This team was supported through the whole process in the writing of the RFP and its scope of work all the way through the interviewing of the two firms, but not only of the communications team, but also the water quality staff from each of the owners. So it was a big, large group that was involved in selecting this this firm. Next slide, please. Okay. So what the scope of work for this master service agreement will include. They are going to be polling and surveying each of the owner's customer base. And basically that's to learn about and identify who are the priority audiences and basically to get a feeling for what they know about their water supply and awareness about the new water supply coming soon. It's a means for also learning about the best communication methods to reach them, to inform them about water supply integration and what they might need to know in terms of if we have to have them do something on their end, but also, you know, just to note that there could potentially be, you know, color discolorations. We could have, you know, water or odor taste differences, and to, you know, get the information out that this is coming and it's expected to happen. So, the RFP or the scope of work will also involve the development of a comprehensive plan for water supply integration with implementation timeline, development of key outreach messages to customers and the public, along with those recommended engagement strategies, the most effective way for getting those messages out to those we intend to reach with that information. Water Systems Consulting will be testing key messages prior to region-wide implementation, and then once the messages go out, testing to make sure those messages have been successfully, you know, received out there. And then, if necessary, adjusting our strategy and tactics along the way, if necessary. They will be developing a comprehensive toolkit, so the plan itself, an implementation timeline, and then a comprehensive toolkit for outreach materials for the owner's use. Things like graphics, videos, sound bites, fact sheets, and information graphics in both English and Spanish. And based on what we learn from the polling and the surveying work that we're doing, this may be extended to additional languages, but right now we know for a fact we're going to need English and Spanish. So we start with the basics and then expand on that based on what we learn. They will be developing trainings and internal briefings for the owners, customer service, field staff, leadership, and elected officials with about, you know, what is water supply integration all about, what's it involving, and then basically some initial responses everyone can kind of have at their fingertips when the calls start coming in. As soon as we start doing some messaging out there to the public, you know, the phone lines are going to start lining up, and so we want to have everyone in the organization to have a familiarity with what's going on and some easy responses they can give out. And then basically, you know, turning the harder stuff over to the team to respond to. but in consideration of all that. And then another final element we're bringing to the table is development of a crisis communication strategies, including tabletop exercises for the team to basically prepare us for responding to the public if a negative situation or a perceived negative situation occurs during the water supply integration event itself. Next slide. Just wanted to call out here that we're taking a slightly different approach to the management of this contract as we move forward. Again, it will be a master service agreement with associated task orders, and right now, task order one, that's before you with this motion, will be focused on determining who are our key customer groups and their priorities, their needs, their concerns, and their sources of information so we know how to get messages out to them in the best, most effective manner. A heavy and immediate emphasis will be on early on in the project will be the polling and the surveying work of the customer bases, and then we will be refining scope of work and the focus effort that occurs once we know a little bit more about the customers themselves. While the primary deliverables for task order number one will be the development of the full communications plan and implementation timeline, the communication team recognize that some of the budget and later tasks identified within the scope may be reprioritized based on what we learn from the customer polling and surveying work that we do. And we will be working with Water Systems Consulting to define, you know, what tools do we need, and, you know, for the toolkit itself, what areas of communication and media strategy planning we need to really focus on. So we're going to be leaning on some of the guidance that they provide, and then refining as we need to the scope of work. But bottom line, though, in the end, we feel that we can accomplish it all within the maximum not to exceed budget of what we're bringing before you for task order number one. So next slide, please. Okay, so total budget for task order number one is $416,730. And here's the breakout, as you will see, of the budget by owner. This amount will be taken from management reserve and is reflected in the WWSP baseline 8.1 budget, which was prepared in quarter four of 2022. And given what we learned through the development of the plan and the toolkit, we will be developing a comprehensive budget during baseline 9, those budget work efforts to take this project all the way to the end of 2026, or the end of the project or the program. And again, we will account for future task orders associated with implementation of the plan and support needs for the engagement efforts, how we actually implement what we learn and prepare in this plan in future task orders. Okay, last slide, please. Okay, so I'm just going to recap what the requested board action is. We're asking the board to consider approving a master service agreement number 2024-8 and task order number one with Water Systems Consulting in the amount of $416,732 to provide water supply integration communication toolkit and engagement support for the Willamette Water Supply Program and its owners. It was a mouthful. Any questions? I know that was a lot of information to digest. Happy to answer any questions.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I believe you alluded to this, but I just want to double check. Mm-hmm. This is all currently budgeted with our existing baseline budget. Is that correct?
Correct. Task order number one, yes.
Number one. Okay. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Any further questions for Ms. Walter? Do I have a motion and a second to approve MSA 2024 as presented by staff? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for the action item.
This is Commissioner Tibnon. I vote to approve or move to approve MSA 2024-008 and task order number one with Water Systems Consulting Incorporated in the amount of $416,730.
This is Commissioner Judah. I second that motion.
Been moved and seconded. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
TBWD?
Yes.
Thanks.
Motion passes. Thank you. Next up are information items. Item A, Mr. Kraska will present a staff report on the water treatment plant schedule recovery update.
Thank you again, Chair Duggan, and good afternoon again, Commissioners. So a little bit of preamble to this one. At our last meeting in August, it seems like a lifetime ago, but at our last meeting in August, I presented to you a report on our spend for fiscal 23, our prior fiscal year. And I commented about how we spent less than we had forecast for that fiscal year, and the causes for that underspend, and the one place where it was concerning, which was the water treatment plant. And at that meeting in August, I committed to you to bring to this meeting in November a couple things. One is an explanation of how we are going to do better forecasting and reporting on our spend, and also how are we addressing our concerns regarding the schedule on the water treatment plant project. And the long story short is we're still working on both of those things. Is that I had intended to use this meeting to detail out exactly what we're doing on both of those things, and we are not there yet. I still need time to work with my team and work with the contractor to get better on both of those. And frankly, it's going to take us some months. What we found with our treatment plant contractor is, quite frankly, just to tell you the details without getting into a lot of the details, obviously, is that they are going to be on their third or fourth construction scheduler. Is that they're struggling a little bit to get a scheduler that can really do a good job of scheduling this very complex project. The good news is, meanwhile, while all of that's happening in the background, the plant is getting built. And as I presented to you earlier today, a lot of work is happening out there, and it's all good quality work. And so they're making great progress on the project. I need to be able to provide you better reporting and have more certainty, and we need just to be able to do better forecasting and planning. So that is still a work in progress, and frankly, I think it's going to be honest with you, I think it's going to take us a few months to get through it. And so what I'm telling you is that we're planning to have a meeting in December. I don't think I'll be ready with that information in December. The February meeting is the meeting that follows the December meeting. That meeting, I should have much better information and much better detail to share with you at that time. But meanwhile, I have this presentation to share with you, which is kind of what I have to share with you today of what we're doing right now. And then at the end of this presentation, I'd be glad to take any questions you might have or address any of your concerns or hear your concerns that I can address with the team and with the contractor. So with that, let's get into the next slide. And so here's the information that I have that we've received from the team. And let me walk you through it from top to bottom. So what this chart shows you is kind of two blocks there. It shows calendar 2025 and calendar 2026, terminating there in June 30, 2026, when we need to be operational. And what the first row there, baseline schedule milestones, so that is what's in the contract for our water treatment plant contractor, SUNT. It shows that they need to be, the first diamond there is water treatment plant complete. And what that means is the water treatment plant is complete enough that it can make water outside of its fence line. Everything is operational. We can get water, raw water to the water treatment plant. The water treatment plant can process that water, and it could push water to the north beyond the fence line of the water treatment plant. So that's the water treatment plant complete diamond. The diamond on the right-hand side of the bar is WWSS commissioned, the Willamette Water Supply System commissioned. That means that the whole network of transmission pipes that we're currently constructing today is all operational. We've been flowing water through it, and it works, and the water's flowing, and now we can move water into the distribution systems for TVW Hillsborough and Beaverton. And so our baseline schedule shows that we want to be complete with all of that by the end of 2025. That's what's in SUNS contract, all of that work. The schedule that we received from them in June is shown in the next row there. And it shows the treatment plant complete sometime in spring of 2026, and the WWSS commission sometime after June 30, 2026. And that just doesn't work for us. That's too late on both counts. And so then we worked with the contractor to refine that schedule for July and August and September. And so you can see some of the evolution of some of these schedules that we've gotten. And you can see a couple of things. And one of those things is that the treatment plant complete date is happening somewhere toward the end of 2025. And that's better than the first schedule that we got from them. And it might work for us. The other thing that you see is that the distance between those two diamonds is shortening. And what we believe this to be is some refinement in the commissioning and startup of the Willamette Water Supply System is not going to take as long as originally forecast. So we should be able to complete that in a compressed schedule and do the water system integration starting in early 2026. So right now, the schedule information looks workable. For me, however, it's lacking a lot of detail. There's a lot of information. I want more than this. And trust me, there's a lot of detail that goes into this, but my understanding of the detail that's going into this and just our certainty and our comfort or whether we're comfortable with that detail is not where it needs to be, and that's where we need some more time to continue to work on this. But addressing it, so far the information that we have is heading in the right direction, the team's working on the right things, it's heading in the right direction, but it's not to the point where I can commit to you that we have it nailed. We've still got to keep working on it, and we're going to keep working on it. So along with that, let me continue on with this presentation. The next slide is this one. So what are we doing? What's the ongoing coordination with the contractor? And so first off is all the work that's happening in the field, keep it going. Keep the construction happening, keep all the folks that are actually building our water treatment plant moving as efficiently as possible. And so our construction management team and our design engineer are prioritizing all urgent field issue resolution. So the things that are coming up in the field on a daily basis, sometimes hourly basis, our team is out there working side by side with the contractors and addressing them as they come up in real time. Weekly RFI and submittal prioritization with the contractors, design engineer, and CM team. And so what that means is the paperwork essentially that we receive from the contractor, requests for information and submittals. We work with the contractor to understand which of them are most critical for their progress. We prioritize those and work on those first, and again, prevent any sort of slowdown on the contractor. And then finally, our CM team, our folks are participating in the subcontract coordination meeting. So with our general contractor working with their subcontractors, we're participating in those meetings so that we can be aware of their communications, aware of their issues, and help them get resolved in real time. As well, the other thing that we're working on that, again, I don't have details to report to you today, but I will hopefully in February, is what other opportunities do we have to recover schedule on this project? And you see four of them listed here. I'll go through each of them, the activities, the status, how much schedule we're going to recover, and potential cost. So one is this optimizing schedule logic and future activities. It's ongoing through early next year. And what this is the schedule itself for building the water treatment plant is thousands of lines long. And our team is going through those thousands of lines and looking for ways to improve and optimize the logic between how the plant is actually going to be built to find ways for the contractor to do it more efficiently and recover schedule on it. And this one, we just don't know. There's still a lot more work to do on this. We don't know if there's not going to be any schedule improvement or significant schedule improvement or medium schedule improvement. But the good news is our efforts into this aren't going to cost anything. It basically is just restructuring how the activities that the contractor is going to do anyways. And it should have zero cost impact to us, but it should be able to afford us to recover some schedule and move that first diamond on that prior graphic more to the left, back towards that July date that we originally were planning by. Another thing we're looking at is construction technique changes. And so one example of that is a different type of forming for some of the concrete work. We need to get back to the contractor on a go, no go on this by the end of this year. The contractor thinks this might be a great opportunity to save some time, maybe up to a month. So the potential schedule improvement is low to medium, but there might be a cost component of this. It's a change in the contractor's practice. They would say it's directed by us to recover schedule. This is something that we would negotiate with the contractor. And so it's something that is not resolved in this moment. And there may be a cost impact. I'll stop here for a second. And Councillor Tibnot, you have a question.
Yeah, can you remind me who the contractor is really quick?
Sundt, S-U-N-D-T, okay. Yep.
And do you know if they've been using a critical path method for their scheduling?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. CPM scheduling is what they do. It's just what we found is that the staff that they've had doing it have different varying levels of really understanding how things actually get built. It's one thing for a technologist to enter things into a computer, but if the person that's entering things in the computer doesn't really understand how things are actually constructed, the quality of it might not be so good. And in our review of some of the contractor submittals, that's what we're finding or have found. And as I mentioned, they're on their third or fourth schedule in it now, and all indications are they found the right one. The person that they're using now, actually we recommended, or we basically said, this guy knows what he's doing. And so this person is engaged now, and they're finding that there's a lot to be done to fix the contractor schedule. So there's some optimism on our side that the future is going to get better on this project. And it's just going to take some time.
Is it a third party scheduler? It's not an internal scheduler who's on their payroll. Okay.
Correct. Yep.
So when you recommended.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Sorry.
No, not at all. Appreciate the question.
Where I lost the thought.
Well, yeah. So for everyone else, so for critical path, basically is the path through your construction that where you delay any one of those things on the critical path, it delays the end date. It delays the completion date. And so by analyzing the critical path, you know exactly, you know, which things are the most important ones and how do you make them the less important. And if you are successful at that, then what's the new thing that's important? And so, yeah, that's unfortunately the tool that we have right now isn't very effective at doing that. We basically don't believe the results of it, of the modeling that can be done with it or scenarios that can be run with it. So, like I said, the future is going to be better, but we need to give it a couple more months for the team to do their work to give us that better tool. Okay, so continuing on with this, another idea that we're considering is coating product substitution. So in our chemical facilities area, using a different sort of coating product there. This one, again, might have a cost to us, might have some savings, we don't know, but this is another one that we're evaluating. And then finally, for certain trades, going to a 6-day work week or second shifts for those trades, medium to high, there might be a significant potential schedule savings, but it also might come at a cost to us. And so that's where we'd have to do some evaluation is like, depending on how much savings is real, are likely to be realized and what the value is versus the cost. That's part of all the work that we're going to be doing over the coming months. And so this is all work in progress right now that my team is working on with the contractor. Meanwhile, let's go to the next slide. Staffing the craft labor force on the treatment plant back at the beginning of this calendar year was something less than 10,000 hours a month. And now we're up in the 20 to 25,000 hours a month. And I think it's only going to continue to get higher. So they have continued to staff up there. As more concrete pours happen, as more rebar gets placed, as more conduit gets installed, as more pipeline gets installed, the labor force is growing out there and is staying at a high level, and so that's good to see. Another thing that we can monitor is this next slide here is concrete placement. This is going to be one of the major activities that's going to occur over the next several months, and you can see it's actually through most of 2024, a lot of concrete placement. And so this is a good hard thing that we can monitor as we go along to verify that the contractor is completing their work according to plan. And this concrete placement forecast is from the contractor. So the contractor, this is actually work that Sundt is self-performing. And so this is their crew that knows how to do concrete. And this is the concrete that they need to get done in order to complete their work on time. So it's a real measurable metric that we can use to track progress on the contract to make sure that the contractor is staying on track and meeting their pour dates. Next slide. And that's it. Okay. So I think that's enough. So I think that's everything that I have to share for you today. I first wanted to like frankly apologize for a commitment that I made to you back at the August meeting. I really wanted to follow through on that. And the team is doing everything they can to like figure this out and resolve it. And we will get there. I just need a little bit more time to work with the team and work with the contractor to get the information that we need in order to maintain your confidence on our work on this project. But with that, I'll stop and see if you have any questions.
I have one additional question. So obviously there's the cost associated with the schedule slipping. So the cost to us every day that we don't meet the schedule versus that cost you were talking about of these different texts you use to keep labor on site and get 6-day work week. Is it really just finding the balancing act of getting to zero, like in terms of, I guess, I don't know, what would you call it? Like splitting the difference between how much it would cost us to get people on site to finish the work on time versus how much it would cost us for it to, the schedule to slip by a certain amount of time? Is that the math that's going to go into figuring that part out?
Yeah, very much so, Councilor Tivnan. It's figuring out that balance, and it's multiple variables that are at play here. It's the potential cost, I'll call it, for acceleration, I'll call it, or schedule recovery is probably a better way of putting it, because we're really not forcing the contractor to accelerate. We're trying to get them to recover their schedule from a slow start and other things. And then what comes into play there is really whose cost is it? Is it our cost? Is it the contractor's cost? And so that's something that we have to work through. And where else can we address our schedule pressure? Can we do the commissioning and startup in a shorter period of time, or the water supply integration? Where do we need the most float? So there's a lot of variables at play. A lot of smart people are working on it to try to get it right. And that's all the work that we're going to be working on right now.
Got it. Okay. Well, this is such a huge project. It doesn't surprise me, especially given that this is a post-COVID project, that things are not going seamlessly in every single way. But I appreciate the work that you're doing on it, and I know it's as important to Sunt, I'm sure, that this get resolved well. So, we'll look forward to the update the next time around.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I have a lunch with an executive from Sunt in a couple weeks to discuss exactly these issues, and we'll have a partnering meeting between our team and the contractor's team on that same day to address these issues. And it can get pretty sensitive, depending on where we go with this and what we learn about it. There may be need to have an executive session to discuss some of this in greater detail. Mm-hmm. And so as those details get developed and our strategies and everything else, either at the December meeting or the February meeting, there may be need to have an executive session, as we'll schedule it before a board meeting, where I can divulge some other details about things that we're finding. But stand by, and I'll let you know when I know more.
Great. Thank you.
Dave, this is Commissioner Judah. Is this a guaranteed maximum price project?
It is.
So you're the contract expert, not me. How do those words, guaranteed maximum price, get impacted by conversations where we're talking about the contractor going to 6 days a week and doubling their shifts and stuff like that? I mean, the easy way for me to think about it is, I don't care how you do it, this is how much we're paying you, and this is when you got to be done. And I know that's such an oversimplification, but I thought that's what guaranteed maximum pricing on a project like this was trying to accomplish.
And that's certainly what we're going to try to accomplish. That's our argument. The counter argument, what makes it not so simple, is the contractor will claim, well, we guaranteed a price for that over there, and what you're asking for is a change. So whenever there's a change that is outside of the contractor's control or as directed by the owner, the contractor has a platform for asking for more money. And so that's where we have to be really good in our record keeping and defending our position and making sure that we're not being taken advantage of. There are times during the course of a project where changes occur and the contractor couldn't have anticipated costs and they're owed additional compensation for additional work. And I'm not sure any of these are arguments or places where they're owed any additional compensation. And that's what we've got to evaluate going forward.
All right. I will say, particularly as you look at this picture, I don't care who we hired as a contractor, this is an awful big sandwich to eat. So I hope we did the right thing with giving this whole thing to one person, one company.
I am confident that we did. I think on a site like this, trying to break up a project like this, I'm not sure you'd find very many arguments it increases complexity. And the opportunity for having one contractor on top of another, it would create more problems for us than having one contractor to point at to figure it out. And this contractor has experience doing works of this size and complexity. In fact, they have a dozen projects of this scale across the country. This is well within their abilities to figure out. And it's part of my job to make sure that they get it figured out and they solve it. Anything further?
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Informational item B, Ms. Bennett will present a staff report on business agenda items planned for the December WWSS Commission Board meeting.
Good afternoon, commissioners. We have one action item planned for December, and it is water treatment plant GMP number 2 contract for construction. So our GMP is our guaranteed maximum price with Sunt Construction, who Dave was just talking about. Sunt's been working on the program since about 2019, participating in water treatment plant final design. The final design was completed in July of 21, and then we approved the first GMP number 1 in late 2021. And the contents of GMP number 1 included site development work, everything you saw in the picture there. And it even included startup and commissioning of the raw water system of WWSS and the water treatment plant itself. Items that were to be installed closer to the end of the project were purposefully excluded from GMP 1 to allow for more accurate pricing. And so that's why we have GMP number 2 coming at us here soon. Sunt is completing preparation of GMP 2, and that includes the site finishes, asphalt, curb and gutter, sidewalks, fencing, landscaping, and also includes currently the startup and commissioning of the finished water system. So we'll see that in December. The anticipated value of work is $15 to $20 million, which was what was planned in the baseline. Are there any additional questions for this topic?
Well, thank you. I assume that it's going to be December and not April, as the slide indicates, but that's okay. I am in anticipation of that number 2 contract, but I'm glad that it's definitely the latter stages of the construction that is needed for the treatment plant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is just a reminder that the next regular board meeting is scheduled on December 7th, 2023 at noon via Microsoft Teams. Communications and non-agenda items. There does not appear to be communications or non-agenda items scheduled for today's meeting. On a quick note, I received an email right before today's meeting regarding the Vision Action Network, and I realized that the mug that I had been drinking out of this morning is going to be a collector's item, because the Vision Action Network of Washington County will be dissolving at the end of this year, and their mission and activities will be absorbed by another nonprofit. The email just came out this morning, and they have done a lot of good work in the last 20 years, and I hope that their work doesn't fall by the wayside, and that the new nonprofit can take up their work. Any other further business before the board, before I adjourn? There being no further business for the Board of Commissioners, this meeting is adjourned. And